6 o'clock, and we are on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph's last line. Tana Rabbana. Ma'aseh b'shnei b'nei adam shenishbu b'har ha-Karmel. There was a story of two people that were trapped, captured in Har HaKarmel. Vayishmoim halach achreihem, and their captor was walking behind them. Amar lo echad mehem l'chaveroi, one of them tells his friend, Gamo shemalechas b'fineinu suma b'achas meineha. The camel that's walking in front of us is blind in one of its eyes. Utu nishtei nidus, and it has two flasks, achas sheyayim v'achas sheshemen, one of wine, one of oil. Ushnei b'nei adam hamanhigim v'isa, echad yishav, echad nachri. And there are two leaders, the two people leading it, and that is one is a yid and one is a guy. Amalam Shavoy, so the captor says to them, I'm Sheyarif, you stubborn nation. And the Mepharshim speak out that even under the captivity, your Chachma still shines through. Meinatim Yaidim, how do you know? Amalai, so they told them, Gamo Masabim Shalotanah, Mitach Raya Echelos, Mitach Eine Raya Eine Echelos. A camel eats from the side that it sees. If it sees from both eyes, it eats from both sides of the road. Since it's only eating from one side, obviously it's only seeing on one side. And I know that it has two flasks, one of wine and one of oil. So wine is drips, and it gets absorbed in the ground. So shemen metaftif itself, and the oil stays above the ground. So on one side of the road, there's a hecker, there's a sign of a drip that has been absorbed, and on the other side is a drip that hasn't been absorbed. The guy goes to the bathroom in the road, and there is animal, and the yid goes to the side. And I can tell by the way they went to the bathroom that obviously they're two different people that have two different degrees of menschlichkeit. He chased them and he found them like their words. He kissed them on their head. He brought them to the house. He made them a big party. He was so amazed by their wisdom. By miracle of name, and he danced in front of them. Now, over here, there is a ksav yad. There's an addition to the Gemara that we don't have that the Menoris Hamor quotes as part of this Gemara. And from Rashi, it's clear that he had at least part of it that we don't have in our Gemara. And those who have the Oiz V'Hadar can look to the side. I assume Artsko has the Oiz V'Hadar there, and it's there. Amru Loi, they told them, and this is not in our Gemara. Amru Loi, they told them, Kumduma Lanu Shadinenu Ben Klastu Shamelechu. It seems to us that you have a resemblance to the king. You resemble the king, meaning you were... Your father is the king, not who you think your father is. Halach v'shal imai. So he went to his mom and he asked her. Amalah, he said to her, Imat megedus li mutav. If you tell me the truth, fine. Then lav ani matzave v'hargin aysach. If not, I will get you killed. Amalah, benibish aschupa yatzabayla v'nichnis klasta shamelach v'ba'ala. Klasta is not a lesson of resemblance. I guess klasta is a lesson of leadership, whatever it is. My husband left, and the king's resemblance came and lived with me. I think it means the king. When she became pregnant, so he served them meat at the party. So they told them, this meat tastes like dog meat. He went back to his mom. And he said, if you tell me, fine. Then lav, I'm the top of Hergen Isaac. If not, I'm going to command and get you killed. Amrlo ibn Ikabs Akos Yeshlonu, we had a lamb, who made Sa'imah, mother died, and he cooled Mikalba Achas. And we nursed it from a dog. We gave it dog milk. That's why it had dog taste. Hevi lam yayin. Amrlo yayin say yesh by time mate. This vine has a time of a dead person. Halach Mashal, the Imai, Amrlo, he says, she said to him, Ayayin, Midoya Shol Kever of Ichab. It is from the plants, the trestles that grow from the grave of your father. I guess the trestles, I'm not sure if it's the wood trestles or it's the branches, the vines, actually grow by the kever. Thus from Kesav Azar back to the Gemara, he gave them silver and gold. The Yomar Baruch Shebachar Bezari Shalaron of Avram, praised is Hashem that chose the children of Avram, and gave them from his wisdom. Wherever they go, they become leaders of their masters. And he said goodbye to them. He dismissed them. And they went home in peace. Rashi. One of the captives said to his friend, it's not eating, sometimes from the right and sometimes from the left. Like an animal horaya that sees shekelus mikan amikan. It's only eating from the side that it sees. Gaya mitapsa v'shekeya v'karka. We see between our legs hatipim shenaflu, the drops that had fallen shavar hagamul b'mokum zeh, when the camel had passed on this side. Mitarechot shkuim mitarechot hatipim. From one side it absorbed, and one side hatipim shol tzemesh shetzofim. The oil drops are still floating on top of the ground. They're still on top of the ground. Nifnu l'tzadim shken derech yisrael liyus tenua yiris tenua. Rada v'ashavoy derech hagamul v'amanik chased the gamul and the leader and matzah p'divreim. V'amru aitzin yehudim aloitzi shavoy adineyem. And then those captives said about their master shu ben klaster melech. He is similar, resembles the king. Shad yukne daima tzamer garis l'maras panav shal aitzin klaster shamelech. It looks like the picture of the king. He looks like a resemblance of the king. He was conceived through Znus. Now, I saw one of the Mepharshim want to say Gamo is a reference to Yishmael. And the two Nidus, Yain and Shemen, are the Guf and the Nesham of Klal Yisrael. And the Gayim believe that they can enslave us both in body and in spirit. They can break our religion. And what they don't understand is they're summa ba'agas meneyem. They don't understand, they're blind, they don't realize that they can only dominate our bodies, they cannot dominate our religion. So therefore that's what he's saying. There's a gamol, and it's blind in one of its eyes, gamol referring to Yishmael, who think that they can break both Yiddishkeit physically and spiritually. And what they don't understand is on one side is wine, which is the guf, which gets absorbed, and the other side is shemen, which is a remez to chachma, which is a remez to spirituality, which doesn't get absorbed, and they're wasting their time trying to break that part of Klal Yisrael. So I saw him wanted to say for as a remez from this gemara. Talk to gemara about v'chay sivka belayla, double lashon. You should cry at night. This is Eicha. We started with Eicha, and we are continuing a little bit through Eicha. Shtei b'chiyas halol ulamo. Why does it say b'chay sivka? Amarabam Rabbi Eichon, Echad HaMikdash Rishon ve'Echad HaMikdash Sheni. One HaMikdash Rishon and one HaMikdash Sheni. Meaning, we had lost two Batei Mikdash. Now, many Mepharshim do a lot of things with this Gemara, and some of them do things that are opposite each other, so I guess you can learn the Gemara different ways. There's a major machloikas between, I guess, I don't know who to attribute it to, but many on one side and many on the other side, how to view the two Churban Beis HaMikdashes. There's a school of thought, which is mashma from the Ramban and Parshas Bukhukaisai, that there are two separate Churbanas on two separate set of Averis, and they're really not connected to each other. There was the first Churban, and the first Churban was for 70 years, and they never did the tshuva they had to do, so they came back to a lower madrega. And then there was a second korban that came about for a second set of averis, not directly tied into the first korban, and then we lost the second Beit HaMikdash based on that korban. That's one school of thought. That's the Ramban learns. That's what others seem to learn, that the two are not directly associated with each other. If the result is the same, we are in Galus. So they learned this Gemara. There's two Korbanas that we mourn. There's two different Beis HaMikdash destroyed for two different sets of Averis that left us where we are. There's another school of thought, and many ascribe to this school, that really Mikdash Rishon deserved a lot longer Galus. A lot longer Galus. There is an Aushuch in Kapitul Yud Gimel and Tehillim. Adon Hashem Tishkocheni Netzach. So he says, Adon Hashem Tishkachet, there's four Ad-Anas over there. And Al-Shuch learns that the four Ad-Anas refer to the four Goliaths. And he says, Adon Hashem Tishkacheni Netzach is the Goliath above all. Why is it Netzach? So he says, if not of the Tzvil of Rachel Imenu, if not of Rachel Mavaka Abaneha, it would have been a very, very long Goliath. The only reason it wasn't a very long galus is because of the tefillah of Baruch Hu Imenu. Putting that together with the second school of thought, they believe the pshat is Klal Yisrael needed a very long galus at Bayis Rishon. Churban Bayis Rishon, Avedizah Regila, Arayis, and Shechus Damim needed a very long galus. But we did not have the tools to properly survive the galus. Perish of Alpeh had not flourished to the point it was a much, it was meaning it was at that point Perish of Alpeh was in a revealed way. People that were going to live in galus would not be able to use what was available to survive. What was needed was a transition period. The transition period became galus Bayisheni, Binyan Bayisheni, where it was a lesser madrega. It was a second chance, but again built in that we still have a there's still a debt to be paid. It's on layaway. And if you people behave, it'll be laid away for a long, long time, maybe permanently. If not, there's still a debt to be collected, which will be collected. And they view it as one long korban with a transition period in between to give us the tools to survive this long 1900, almost 2000 year galus. That is the second school of thought. And they learn Echad HaMikdash Rishon v'Echad HaMikdash Sheni because it's one korban. So the same Gemara is translated in two different ways, and obviously it's not, you can learn one way or the other way. But they learn that it's really one korban with two stages because we weren't equipped at stage number one to handle the long galus that was being what we deserved at that time. And the second galus was just the finishing off of the first galus. That is their opinion. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, who goes with that school as well, in Parshas Bay, says the reason we have the names of the months that are Persian names, till then it was Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and then it became Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Rabbi Yankov says is because it's to remind us that when we came back, we really didn't come back. We were on borrowed time, and if not used correctly, we would be dumped off, which is what happened. That is how Rabbi Yankov explains it. Dr. Gemara Bait. Vayitisa kalaeda abalaila al iske laila. It's what happened at night. We're crying. It all started what happened one night. What was that? Shanamba vayitisa kalaeda vayitna kailam vayivkalam balaila ho. Says when the Meraglim came back, everybody raised their voice and they cried at that night. Amarab amarab yechadin. Aysa halaila leil tisha bavayam. That night was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, Atam B'chisim B'chiyah Shochinam, you cried for no reason, V'ani Ekvul L'cham B'chiyah L'dairis, and I will give you a reason to cry for generations. Now, when we say the word B'chiyah Shochinam, what does that mean, B'chiyah Shochinam? They didn't cry for no reason. What does that mean, Chinam? And the truth is, if you look in Rashi and Shabbos, I think Lamed Aleph, around there, says Chinam means for no Torah validated reason. Chinam does not mean for no reason. Nobody cries for no reason. You cry for a reason. The question is that reason a worthwhile reason? They cried for what they thought was a valid reason, but it was not a valid reason in the eyes of the Torah. Therefore, it's called the Bechiyah Shochinam. Atam Bechisam Bechiyah Shochinam means you gave value to something that was valueless. You validated something that should not have been validated. And therefore, Vani Ekvah L'cham Bechiyah L'dairis, Tisha B'Av becomes a night of crying. Now, all the Mepharshim go to town in different ways why Meraglim should affect Churban. I mean, Meraglim happened in the Midbar. Churban happened 800 and some years later, almost 900 years later. So exactly why does one have to do with the other? So the basic approach seems to be, and there's really it's two different approaches, but I think they're one, is that Klal Yisrael's entry to Eretz Yisrael changed based on the Chet Meraglim. It changed the level of Eretz Yisrael that they entered into. I shouldn't say it changed the level of Eretz Yisrael. It changed their level of a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into Eretz Yisrael because he wasn't, if he would have come into Eretz Yisrael would have had to have given them the higher level, which they weren't able to tolerate. And therefore, it set up a situation where Churban became a possibility. Had they not done the Chet Meraglim, they would have entered Eretz Yisrael on a higher level. They would have bonded with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael on a higher level. Churban would have been no possibility. As we said yesterday, the earlier Nisyonis set the table, and then people get to eat at the table. So the Meraglim set the table for a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Had there been no Chet Meraglim, there would have been no table set to allow a Churban Beis HaMikdash. The fact that there was Meraglim set a table, made it a possibility, the Churban became a possibility, and therefore, because of their mistakes, actually happened. That's what the Mefarshim all say, yes.
It changed
Bnei Yisrael vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. See, there are two changes, and again, this is not the time, it's not Chumash Yer here, not Shkopet Yer, but there are two major changes that happened in Dor HaMidbar that changed the Madrega of Klal Yisrael. One was vis-a-vis themselves and Torah, and one was vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. Keta Egel changed Klal Yisrael from being people of Lucas Rishayinus to being people of Lucas Shnius, from being people that didn't die to people that did die, and the Gemara will elaborate on Avodah Zarah, so we will leave it for there. And Keta Meraglim changed Klal Yisrael from people that could bond to the higher level of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, or to people that had to be given a lower dose of it. So it was two major changes in Klal Yisrael. One affecting our relationship vis-a-vis the Torah, and one affecting the relationship vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael, which is Shivas and Betamas and Tisha B'Av. Shivas and Betamas, five things happened. If you check the five things, four of the five are directly Torah related. The fifth one is leading to Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av is all land related, because what Shivas and Betamas did with our relationship to the Torah, Tisha B'Av actualized with our relationship to the land, and therefore there are two bookends of the 3 weeks, because they're connected. Egel and Meraglim become connected to each other. One happened on Shavuos and Betamis, one happened on Tisha B'Av, one led to the other. Again, did it have to happen? No, we have choice, but it basically set it up. Without an Egel, there's no Meraglim. Without Meraglim, there's no what's it ever again. So it sets the table for future Nisyonos. We always can overcome whatever Nisayan is thrown against us. But our Nisayanis are based by what we did before. If a person sits down with a group of Bali Lashon Hara, he has a test of Lashon Hara. Had he made the choice not to sit there, he would have never had to make the second choice. Now, he chose wrong. He sat down with a bunch of Bali Lashon Hara. Does that say he has to speak Lashon Hara? No, it doesn't. He can still choose not to. But he set the table for a new set of Nisyanis that he chose to set upon himself, that he would have never had he made the right decision the first time and not sat there. It's true in every aspect of life. Our previous Nisyanis set up our future Nisyanis. Exactly. That's what happened. But Yisrael is a continuum, exactly. And therefore, they set the table for future tests that, had they made the right decisions, would not have happened. Rashi. Al iske laila, vishabaku ais laila b'chias chinam. They cried that night for no reason. That's the Gemara writer. Davar achar b'laila. Another b'shatan b'laila. Shkala b'aika b'laila kaila nishma. At night, one's voice, noise is heard clearer at night. Gemara. No, I didn't. I read the Gemara with Tishma. That's, you're ahead of me. Davar achar b'laila. When he cries at night, his voice is listened to, heard. And Rashi brings the Gemara in Yuma that says during the day there's the Galgul Chama, the turning of the sun that creates a noise. Now we don't hear that noise, but creates a situation where noise does not travel as far as it does at night. The Galgul Chama overwhelms our noises and cuts down on sound waves' ability to travel far. Don't ask me to explain it any further than that. Rashi, that's Rashi. Kol nishma yaisim b'yayim. Could be the baal, but meimah ina kol nishma b'yayim to b'layla. Like the Gemara says in Yuma, why isn't the voice heard at day like at night? May galgul chama manasa b'rikia, because of the turning of the sun, the orbit of the sun, which breaks through the sky. That usually at night people have mercy. The pasuk ends. and there's no one to console her, even though the voice is heard, even though people hear her crying, but there's no one around to console her. Another pshat. Seems that one that cries at night, the stars and constellations cry with them. Again, crying at night has a bigger ability to be ma'ira rachmim, and it manifests itself with kachavim mazalis crying. I don't know what that symbolizes, but that's what Rav Gemara is saying. Rashi, kachavim mazalis baichem shenichmuru rachmim alav. Their rachmanis is awakened. And the third one is the barachar baylailish kolabayicha baylaila shemeya kolabayicha kenegdai. People cry along with someone that cries at night. Rashi baychi kenegdai b'tef shenishma behedja, since it's listened, heard very clearly. Merachik libay shel adam hashemeya kolal livkus ima. It softens the heart of the person who listens to it to cry with him. That the Gemara might be shachas to be the story with a woman, Chunasi Shreben Gamliel, the neighbor of a Gamliel, she makes Bena, her son died. And she cried at night. Shamar of Gamliel, Kaila, Bacha Kenegda. Gamliel heard her voice, and he cried along with her. Ad Shenishru Risha Enaf. Until his eyelids, the hair at the bottom of the eyes, the eyelashes, fell out. The Macher Ekiru by Tamidav, his students recognized it. They basically asked her to please leave the neighborhood. Rabbi Gamliel would not be able to survive with this woman crying so much. So they basically, you know, helped her transition somewhere else. Rashi, we say enough. Sar shebevavas ayin. This is the hair that's around the eye socket. Hayenayfu v'nichbal al ayin, fell and landed on the eye. They rived the voice because of many tears. I'm sorry? No, it's just telling you a story how crying at night affected someone else. That's all. There's no practical lesson to kick out your neighbors. It's just saying what happened when a person can cry at night. Rav Gamliel cries along with her and it hurts Rav Gamliel physically. He's a Nazi. Right? So what's he supposed to do? I'm sure they didn't dump her out of the neighborhood with no place to go. It just said they basically said that when Leo can't live here, you know, somebody's got to go because it's just not going to happen. He's going to get sick. He's going to get, you know, he's going to hurt himself.
This is the constant crying that you're doing every night.
Right. The constant, we're trying to prove that nighttime crying,
just one night.
But it doesn't say, nighttime crying. Again, nighttime crying, what it's trying to say is nighttime crying makes others cry along, whether it's kachavim mazalos, whether it's other people. And the point of the pasuk is, with all that nighttime crying, v'ein menachem lo, for Klal Yisrael it made no difference. Nobody helped them, nobody cared about them. Midas harachmim was not misayir, it was midas hadin, and they faced the consequences. Even though the crying happened in a time where usually has a positive effect. And we're proving from the story just that nighttime crying has that effect. That the Menachem, there's nobody that can console her. Something in my bite. The Dimasa Alechya. Tears on her cheek. Amar Abba Amar Abbeyachman Ke'isha Shabaycha Baal Nu Reha. Like a woman who loses her husband, Rahman al-Islam, when she's very young. Shenema Eli, mourn, lament. Kivsula Chagura Sak, like a girl that's girdled with sackcloth, Abao Nureha. That's interesting that she's called Kivsula if she already has a bow. But I think it means to say young here, because usually she's not a psula if it's Abao Nureha. I didn't see anybody point that out. She's married, she's usually not a psula. But I think it's trying to say is a young lady who invested into marriage and is left with nothing is usually totally, we would say in Yiddish, to broken-hearted, left with nothing. And she's the one that cries because there's nothing to do for her. Really nothing to console her with. And not old enough, not mature enough to handle it on her own. And left with a situation that she's forlorn, that's what Klal Yisrael was left with. Rashi Eli Kainu Kina Metagamin Ayala, the targum of the word Kina of lamentation. Abal Nurel Shabaycha Tamet, she always cries, Umatsuya Demasa, and her tears are always found. That's the Gemara Vayta. Just as an addition, just as an aside, before we move on, the Gemara makes it sound like Klal Yisrael's situation was a hopeless one. And in a certain sense it was, but in the other sense, the Svarim all say that the tears that are shed for Churban Beis HaMikdash are a big tikkun, meaning they help rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The lamentations, the loss, the tshuva that that inspires is a very big tikkun. So unlike the woman who loses her husband, whose cause of crying cannot be so easily solved because the husband's not around anymore. It's not like we can go back to him and ask him to make up with his wife. Over here, as much as she lost Baal Nureh, it's also Ki'isha Shehalach Baalul M'dita Tayyab. When the husband's around, he's not gone. It's just a question of reconciling the two. So the tears and the crying and the yearning all are part of that reconciliation process. So it's not a wasted tear, so to speak. That's just a broken-hearted tear with nothing to gain of it. Lamaisa, it does accomplish positive as well. Yes.
The chapter is a little different. It says the husband of her youth, not as she is young, but the husband she married when she was young.
That's what he says. Meaning she might be older,
yes,
but this is the husband. Okay.
Not a second husband.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Meaning the husband, her husband. I hear. I just saw from Kipsula Chagura Sak. I took a reference that we're talking about someone that's still young, but I might be wrong. I mean, I am. I'm not going to argue the point. That's not true. He did cry. I'm sure Rav Akiva cried every Tisha B'Av. He didn't sit and laugh on Tisha B'Av and say, great. No, he cried every Tisha B'Av. What he wanted his friends to see is that it's all building block. So when the fox come out of the Korban of the Beit HaMikdash, he sees the positive in it. That doesn't mean he doesn't mourn the Korban. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. I do want to say a little bit of a part, since I'm way ahead of myself, as much as I'm prepared. I will say a short part. Somebody once asked me a question, somebody sent over a question from someone, that on Tisha B'Av, we don't learn. Right? You would think that on Tisha B'Av we should learn all day. We want to do tshuva. We want to come back. We want our Kodesh Baruch Hu to come back to us. So on Tisha B'Av should be a mini Yom Kippur. And yet it's a day that we fast and we don't learn. We don't learn. It's us to learn on Tisha B'Av. It's Masam Chelev. Right? So, the way I understood it is Tisha B'Av is a day of consequence. You know, we like to tell ourselves all the time, and it is true, that we can always come back, and we can always make it, and we can always do better. But there's got to be one day in a year that a person has to understand the consequences of what they did to themselves. If we're always accentuating what a person can come back to, which is true, people don't live with consequences. There are never consequences. I can always come back. In a person's mind, he never views himself as having fallen. I can come back. It's easy. I just have to do tshuva. I can come right back. There has to be a day a year that we tell people, you can come back, too. But listen to where you are. Look what happened to you. Then come back. Don't ignore the consequences and just talk about coming back. Recognize consequences of your actions. Know where you are. Know what Churban did to you. Churban took you away from Torah. Churban took you away from all these things. It's the day of crying as if there is no hope tomorrow. It's the day of Bogos Sivka Balayla. Right, it's the day of crying with the Masa Alechya, the Ein Menachem Lo. It's a day that we have to feel that there is no Menachem Lo. It's not the day that we can walk around saying, it's bad, but we're coming back, we're coming back, we're coming back. That's true after Chatzais. But the night of Tisha B'Av and the morning of Tisha B'Av is a situation of consequence. We recognize we are in a situation of the Ein Menachem Lo. We are in a situation where things are very bad. After we recognize that, we can talk about coming back. But if we only accentuate the ability to come back without talking consequence, we're missing out what Tisha B'Av is supposed to teach us. Tisha B'Av is Churban. It's the day of consequence. because of HaKatoam, a Churban happened. Churban is real. Churban is a reality. We have to recognize that reality before we talk about coming back. We like to gloss over those kind of things and concentrate on the positive, which is very healthy and it's very good. But if we never recognize the consequences, we're fooling ourselves. So the night of Tisha B'Av and the morning of Tisha B'Av is consequence day. No Torah, no nothing, just sit and cry, recognize Churban. Then after Chatzos, you want to get off your chair, your low chair, and move back up, and you want to rebuild and talk about Mashiach being born, and talk about all the good things which will happen and will happen. That's fine. Only to the one who recognizes consequences. That's what that I think Pshat in this Gemara is. That's the Gemara Vayta. Hayut Sarel L'Raish. Her enemies became ahead. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Kalamaitu L'Yisrael Nasarash. Whoever bothers Klal Yisrael becomes the head. Taisus and Chagiga says that Pshat is the Rabbanu Shlomo has covered Klal Yisrael. Never let Klal Yisrael be punished by somebody that's meaningless. It's a Zion. So whoever punishes Klal Yisrael becomes a world leader. And then, unfortunately, they pick on Klal Yisrael. But it's a bigger respect to Klal Yisrael that they're dealing with world leaders instead of some trash, low down thing. Not that the world leaders aren't low down trash. They're also low down trash. But at least they have respectable world leaders. Klamechil Yisrael Nasarash. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin says that when, Unkelus brought up, I think it was Unkelus? Is Unkelus? It was Ben Achleja. Unkelus brought up two people, Titus and Bilam. They said he should pick on Klal Yisrael. If you want to make it in the world, just pick on Klal Yisrael. Chametzil Yisrael Nasarash. Just go at him. The more you go against Klal Yisrael, the more successful you'll be in Olam Hazeh. That's what they both told him, because that's how it works. If you want to be successful in this world, just go against the Yidden. That's the Chametzil Yisrael Nasarash. Now, the Gaon and the Rav Ranjavur take out Shenemar, because the next is a new drasha from a new pasuk. Hayat Sarah L'Raish told us, Kalametul Yisrael Nasarash. That's the Gemara Vayta. I don't think we caught up with Rashi. Alechi, Loshen Lachlus V'Narus. Loshen of softness and youth. Galach V'Yavish. Loshen Alechi means it's youth. Baal Nureh. That's the Gemara Vayta. Ki Loi Mu'af L'Hashem Mutzikla. There's no tiredness to those who are pressing it. Am I right? Ka'es Harishan, at the beginning, this is referring to Sancheirev, Heiko Arta Zvulun V'Arta Naphtali. He lightened the land of Zvulun, the land of Naphtali, means he exiled them. V'Achrayin, and later, Hichbid Derech Hayam, he came heavy through the sea, Over Hayarden, Eber Hayarden, across the Yarden, Glil Hagayim, the area of the nations. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yechanan, Kalametik, we saw Eina Oyev. What this pasuk is saying is, the Vavu Klal Yisrael, you don't get tired. You're able to accomplish things that normal Goyim can't accomplish. But Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them strength. Unfortunately, those who have to be the messengers of punishment get strength.
Yeah, but back to the other part, that what is, I mean, not that we, if a low nation would fight us, that's just more. That means that would be more of a Zion for us, right? That'd be the kapara would be a greater kapara for us. What do we? I mean, let's say we. Well, yeah, we want that. I mean, if we have to get punished, let someone low do it. That means the double kapara, you know.
I have no good answer to tell you, Pshat in Taisus. Taisus says it's a greater covet of Chayim. So, I would venture to say that I don't know if this is Pshat and Taisus, but I think Pshat is, you know, the Jew is the problem of the world. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants it that way, because that way nobody can forget, whether you're Jewish or not, that there's something special about the Yid. You know, it's always going to be on the front page. It's always going to be world leaders that are dealing with it. It's always going to be somebody that's making fun of the Yid that's of power. It's going to make it to the front page. If it's a low-life person that doesn't make it to the front page, then the Jew is not recognizably different than the rest of the world. Part of Ashgacha is, again, I don't know if this is Pshat and Taisus, but part of the Ashgacha is that there's always a reminder, no matter what happens, Hakol B'Shul Yisrael. The whole world revolves against the Yid. I mean, if you think of the absurdity of things that are blamed on Yidden. It's so absurd, it's illogical, it doesn't make a difference. It's always on the front page, how the Jews, because of the Jew that this happens, because of the Jew that this happens. And now they substituted the word Jew, and they took out the word Jew, and they put in the word Israel. Because it's a lot of Jews, they can get a lot at one time, they don't have to worry about one at a time. But it's the same idea. I mean, I'm not here preaching whether it is or it isn't, but it's in the Chaim's mind, they for sure consider it the same idea. So if you notice, everything is Israel's fault. Everything is Israel's fault, and everything is the Jews' fault. The economy goes bad, it's the Jews' fault. Everything is the Jews' fault, and everything is Israel's fault. And the truth is, Hakol B'Shul Yisrael. There is basis to their claim. Not in the way they see it, but in reality of it, Hakol B'Shul Yisrael. It all happens because of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, by being on the front pages, and by having the heads of the world deal with the Jewish problem, so to speak, the Jewish issue, it keeps the fact across to everybody, Yidden are different. Right? The famous part that I heard attributed to many people. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai found the daughter of Nachman Ben Gurion picking out barley from the waste material of donkeys. And her father had been a billionaire. And he asked what happened, and so in the end he says, Ashrechem Yisrael. Lucky are you, cry yourself. When you're higher than all the nations. When you're lower than all the nations. And whoever this is quoted from, and I heard it quoted from many people, what's so lucky to be the lower of all the nations? The answer is, it shows that we're special and different. We're not the regular rise and fall of other nations. We either go to the top or to the bottom, but really bottom and really top. Because that is their special relationship one has with the Rebbeinu level. So that's how I understand it. Whether it really fits into Tisus or doesn't fit into Tisus, I don't know. I don't want to put Tisus and say that's what he means. But that's how I understand the concept that you need Meitzel Yisrael not to rush. That Klal Yisrael is under the heads, being bothered by heads of countries, by nations, right, that dedicated themselves only to the quote-unquote getting rid of Klal Yisrael, Rahman al-Utlan, Afra l'Pumayu, right? But that's how I understand it. Again, is that Pshat and Tisus? I'm not going to point to say this. That's the Gemara Vayitz. Shouldn't happen to you all those who pass the road. Now Rashi has three pshatim mikan lekuvana minatayra. Let's do Rashi. The Rashi mikan lekuvana minatayra. Kshadam medir tare lachar. When a person informs his tsar to somebody else, tsarach sheyemeloi letavi zayislach. This should not happen to you. Kamaisha boy alive. That could happen to me. He kashahu lishmaya, because it is difficult to listen to problems, and they change it to Lo Shemeya. The one who hears it worries that it shouldn't come to him. So we give him a bracha, Lo Aleichem. People say over our problems, they say Lo Aleinu, or they say Lo Aleichem. Shouldn't happen to you. Shepam Chazeres Allah, because there are times the problems set over make its way to the one who hears about the problem. So therefore, we give him a bracha, it shouldn't happen to you. And there's no superstition in telling people this problem that happened shouldn't happen to you. Loy aleichem, loy aleinu. Vishnachrina lekuvana k'shiyesh leitzara yediena l'rabim. Second shot is that a person has a tzara, he should publicize it. Kuvana tzaka. Second shot is we publicize our problems. Vishnachrina neged mitzagamin and kavel. Kadam shlechaver lechaveri loy k'neged chaniyim. I don't mean you. So there's three pshatim. Either it means to say I don't mean to curse you. Or it means to say, listen, this problem happened, and people don't like to hear problems because they feel like a Chmana Lassana can come to them. So I say, Loy Aleichem. And the third shot, the middle shot is, it's publicity of problems is hinted to in the Torah. That's the Gemara Vayta. Kol Ivrei Derech. What is Kol Ivrei Derech? Amar Rav Amram, Sir Rav Amram says, Amar Rav, Asuni Kol Ivrei Haldas. Kol Yisrael made HaKadosh Baruch Hu like as if he's breaking the rules. Is that the way he translates it? I said, Yilub is Daim Siv, Hashem Him Siv. By Zayim it says, Hashem rained down himself. And here it says, so the way Rashi learns is, Hashem made us like Ivrei Adas. The other was another different. Rashi learned that Hashem treated us like we really transgressed all the rules, meaning we got treated like Zdaim. Zdaim had fire come down on them, and Hashem sent us fire. Vayirdena means he broke us. Uksiv, Vayigdal, they take out the word Uksiv. Rashi. Vayirdena, Lo Aleichem, Vayirdena, Mesarav Eisen, he burnt it. Vayna Sunikai Vidas, should the Nani Beish Kizdaim, he judged us with fire like Zdaim. Lo Aleichem, Navi Ha Misnaidid Al Achorbim, he was mourning or shaking his head on the churban kilu boil tzara mapecha lacherem as if it happened to somebody else. Vaymelam liyisrael like hey lecham tzara kazu. It should not. You should not have this problem. Kumtumeli navi hay medaber keneged bnei Moshe or keneged yud hashvatim shlo higlu nevchanetzer. Rashi says I think he was saying to the ten shvatim, you shouldn't have what we suffered here. These two shvatim are suffering. I don't know who bnei Moshe are. Kneged Bnei Moshe. I was going to look it up. I have a Bia Rashi in my thing, and I forgot to look it up. I don't know who these Kneged Bnei Moshe is. Does he say anything at the bottom about Bnei Moshe? He was telling the Ataris Hashvatim, you shouldn't suffer what we suffered. What? No, I'm going to have to look it up, Leonetta. I don't know who this Bnei Moshe is. Vayirdena loshen shmira loshen of breaking. Come on, vayird mi Yaakov. Kadam amoishu b'chaver la'chayso l'shaver, like a person rules his friend to break him and to give him up.
No, I'm still, what is it?
No, we're not talking about problems that are resolved. The person is lamenting all the troubles that have occurred to him. The listener is worried that listening to the problem brings it upon him also.
Where's that
and that's
from?
Not superstitious.
What is it?
I don't know heebie-jeebies, and I don't know how these things work. But if you ever notice, there are people that won't say certain names of illnesses, and they have a certain way of talking, because talking and mentioning and hearing has an impact on what happened. And the Lo Aleichem is supposed to take care of that problem. Now, if I understood it, I would explain it better, but I don't. But Kabalti Mirabaisai, I heard this, not Mirabaisai, I can't even call him Mirabaisai, but I heard from Klaiz Megareba that when we say a yid's not well, we don't use the word sick. We say he's not well. You don't want to give him... Fieldnishgut, he said. We don't say he's sick. The word sick is reserved for people that we want to remain, they should remain sick. And he said, for those people, we say, the minig in Europe was to say he's chayla, to give it kiyum and lashon kodesh. And when he talked about, I heard it from him. And when we talk about a yid, we say he doesn't feel well. We don't give words kiyum, words give thing. Listening and talking and listening to bad things can impact. And therefore, there's the loy aleichem kolay v'ederach. Now, how that works? I don't know. You'll have to talk to people that know these things a lot better than me. Yes. I thought you were asking. Yes, doctor.
In a related sense, part of the aspect of not publicizing bad news, nor letting people know when something is going on, comes directly from, or heard directly from Curly Wandro, that if you make known something unfortunate which is going on, that gives it a permanence and it makes it give you a little harder for the other people.
Yeah, it's the same kind of idea.
Right.
Klal Yisrael's sins were greater than the sins of Zdaim. So is there favoritism? Why didn't they get turned over? That's one way of learning the question. And the other way of learning the question, Rashi learns, is Hashem didn't punish them directly, he punished them by day shliach. Two ways of learning the question. Either he should have punished them directly like he did by Zayim, or he should have turned them over. That's the Gemara, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yechon, Amidi Yisrei Raisi B'Yishalayim Shlaisi B'Zayim. Now, Rashi has two ways of learning it. Either an extra attribute, Mila, or an extra chesaron. If one learns it's an extra chisaron, that chisaron made up for the fact that he didn't get Zayim's punishment. If you learn it's an extra mila, it saved them from Zayim's punishment. So again, two ways to learn this Gemara. either something happened in Klal Yisrael that shows good, and therefore they were safe from being turned over, or something happened that was terrible, and that was the added punishment that made up for the fact that they weren't turned over. What is this thing? This was the sin of Zdaim, your sister. Goin, they were haughty. Shivas Lechem, probably pronouncing the... No, I pronounced it right. Sivas Lechem, satisfied with bread. The Shalvas Hashkate, Hayala, they were peaceful, from the sons to its daughters. Only the Hevjulei of Zika. And they didn't support the poor. They will be Shalayim Siv, Yidei Nashim Rachmani is Bishlu Yaldayim. That the Nashim Rachmani is just to cook their kids and share it with their neighbors. Now, there's two ways to look at it. The Maila, they did Chesed. Or you could say, how Nebuch, they sank to the level that they were shechting their kids. Now, if you learn the first way, it saved them from being treated like Zayim. One learns the second way, the punishment of having to shech their kids made up for the fact that they weren't turned over. And Rashi learns both, brings both Pshatim. The Rashi immediately Shalayim Seir L'Taiva. First Pshat Rashi says it's good. The Mishlayim Sivinei Nashim Rachmanes Bishlu Yodeyim. Hayu Levare Slamai. They were used to console. Levaris means like a party, like a suda. He invited their friend to eat together. It was that they didn't get turned over. It was a terrible punishment. That they used to eat their kids. Yushalayim suffered terrible poverty, whereas Zdaim never got that poverty. There was no favoritism. So either the schus of chesed saved them from extreme punishment, or the poverty was the extreme punishment. That's the Gemara Vayter. Silo chalabiri Hashem bekirbi. Hashem trampled, made them into a path, like stepped on them, all my strong ones. It's like you say, it became pasul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pasuled all the strong ones. He trampled them. Rashi sila loshem sila loshem of a path. Klamer kol ha'birim pasul HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asam psulim u'kvushim. And he made them stepped on and invalidated. K'mesila zu like a path. V'ayna dumi l'madvei shenivsel v'ein le'takana. Like ruined, nobody's going to use it. Patsu alayich piyam. They opened their mouth. They opened against Klal Yisrael their mouth. Amar Rabba Rabbi Echad, Mishma Higdim Pei L'Ayin. Why in most of Echa is the pay before the Ayin? In Kapitul Al Beis Gimel Dawud is written in Al Beis. In three of the four, Beis Gimel and Dawud, the pay precedes the Ayin. Why? It's going in Al Beis, and our Al Beis, Ayin is before pay. So why in three cases is pay before the Ayin? Shomaraglim Sha'amru Befiya Mashalor Ro Beinayim. The Maraglim said in their mouth what they didn't see with their eyes. They talked lies, and going back to the Chet Meraglim, which set up the table for Korban Beis HaMikdash. So the Mefarshim asked, so why isn't Perek Aleph that way? So the Mashar says very simply, because if Perek Aleph would be that way, you would think that for some reason Echa is written with this change. Mashainkin, if three out of the four are, and one isn't, so that means there is an Aleph Beis Seder, so why was it changed in Beis Gimel and Dalet? Then Yaakov says, because they said a little truth. Not everything they said was lies, they said Taiv Aretz Vayid Maid. So therefore the beginning is I and pay. What they saw, they said. It's the second and third and fourth, what they said afterwards, that was pay I and they said what they didn't see. That's how they mean Yaakov learned. Yes.
Isn't that
Rashi says, call Sheker Shain Lamas with Khalasa and the Sheker. That's it.
And
look here,
at the beginning.
Right. That's what he says. He means
that. That's what I'm saying.
May my higden pay lions of Rashi Baroy for Alpha Bas and Shabecha in most of them. And Meraglim Shagdimu Maimer Piyam actually all Ba'ayim what they didn't see in their eyes. So the Gemara Vayter, Oichle Ami Achlu Lechem Hashem Leikaro. They eat my nation like they ate bread, and they don't call Hashem. Amar Rav Rav Yechlin Kol Eichem Malachem Shei Yisrael Toim Tam Lechem. Shein Eichem Malachem Shei Yisrael Ein Toim Tam Lechem. Meaning, the Goyim, when they steal from Jews, then they have enjoyment. Those who don't steal from Jews don't get to enjoy life. Their ikum enjoyment comes from what they can take away from the Jew. They found good taste in Jewish bread. Extra pleasure when they can steal from the Jew. Why did this happen to Klal Yisrael? Because Hashem loy kuro. Who didn't call Hashem? Rav Amayla Dayanim, it refers to Dayanim who used to change the job, weren't posketing fairly. Shmuel Amar Elam Alamdi Tanaikis refers to teachers who did not teach appropriately. They were Melechas Hashem Ramiya. They taught the wrong things to the kids. Rashi Ela Dayanim, Matam Mishma Pusav Nesayim, Hayalechem Ami Lamacho Erva. Because of their sins, my bread, my nation's bread became food to the enemies. Alamdi Tanaikis. Shaitza Malachim Ramiya, they do their Malacha trickery. Now, the Mashah says a different shot over here. And Hashem Loi Karol, the Mashah says a different shot. The Mashah says, that Hashem Loi Karol, he says that they're not supposed to say Hashem out with their mouth. When they teach or they make people swear, they shouldn't say Hashem's name out. Hashem Loi Karol means they shouldn't have said Hashem's name out. And they said Hashem's name out when they taught. Rashi's Baro, and they said Hashem's name out. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Lemer, and they say Hashem's name out. They shouldn't be saying Hashem's name out. So the punishment came because they shouldn't have called Hashem's name. Not the Dayanim and not the Milan de Tanaikis. Now this opens up a whole big argument, because many Achronim say that when you're learning, you're allowed to say Hashem's name. And they bring a rive in this Mashah that people who are machmer not to do it have what to stand on, because the Mashah is saying one shouldn't do it. Because the Yaivits and others say that when a person is learning Gemara, he can say Hashem's name out. When he learns Chumash, he can say Hashem's name out. But the Mashah is the basis to those who say not. The Mashah learns Hashem loy karo, that they shouldn't have said Hashem's name out when they were teaching. So that's the Gemara invites.
It's not enough that the bread,
everything comes from a different thing. It's not like a good Israel who said, okay, punish them, you know. Every little aspect of punishment, every little thing has a source and has a cause. So I took my writer, Mimanan. Who counted these people who don't have a chelik l'olam haba? Where did this come from? Now the Mefarshim all say, we don't ask Masech to Shabbos who counted 39 of us malachas. We don't ask in Baba Kama who counted Abba'avas Nezikin. Teres is, all those are halachi questions. In halacha, it's up to the Chazal, whoever makes it, to decide halacha. But since when is Einlan Chelik Lailam Abba our issue? Since when are we the Balabatim on Lailam Abba? We decide who has and who doesn't have a Chelik Lailam Abba? It's out of our domain. So, Mimanan, where did this come from? That the Gemara, Amar Avashi, Anshe Knesset Hagdayla Manam. The Anshe Knesset Hagdayla put it together, and they knew. They were not deciding, they were relating. Amar Avyud, Amar Rab, Bitshuay Limnit Echad. They wanted to count someone else. It's interesting, the Gemara never mentions the person they wanted to count. But Rashi tells us who it is. They wanted to count Shlomo HaMelech. They wanted to say that Shlomo HaMelech is Ein L'Chelech L'Olam Haba. Now, whether they wanted to say it because they really felt it, or they wanted to say it because they wanted to show people that hate is so terrible that even people like Shlomo is Ein L'Chelech L'Olam Haba, even though he really does, but they wanted to show that even a person like Shlomo HaMelech can end up with an Ein L'Chelech L'Olam Haba. Since even Achleikus, but you got to learn, they knew all along that there's no way Shlomo was going to be listed. But they wanted to list it to show people that they were fair, and they were dashing the psukim, and they were learning it out, and that even a person like Shlomo HaMelech can be on the table to be discussed. That's how he learned it. Others learned that they really believed that he didn't have a chelik l'olam haba. And it's an astounding Gemara, because the Gemara is going to say that they had many simanim and hashemayim, and they just said, they didn't care. They still felt he had a chelik l'olam haba. So Basco came and told them, hello, I decided, not you, goodbye. The likeness of David HaMelech appeared to them. And spread out in front of them. Begged them not to count Shlomo. Interesting Gemara. I mean, David knows whether Shlomo has a chelik l'olam haba. Obviously, being counted would have had an impact upstairs. That's clear. Because if not, why is David begging? He could have ignored them, let them say what they want. He came and begged them, and he said, don't list them. They didn't care. Bo Eishman Hashemayim came an Eishman Hashemayim. The Lichcha Eishmas of Soleim, and it started burning their chairs. They say it's Chus Hatayra. Eish is Chus Hatayra. Yatsa Basko of Amalam Chazis Ishmor ben Malachdoi. Did you see the person that was so person that has alacrity, I guess he's a zaris. How do you say that in a person? He is a
alacritus.
Is this such a person? Alacritus person?
Diligent,
right. The name of Lachim Yisyatev, he stands in front of King. Bal Yisatev Nechashukim, he doesn't stand in front of the dark one. Chashukim. Misha Higdim Beisi LeBeisai. He built the Beit HaMikdash before he built this palace. Lo Yayit, Osha Beisi Bana B'Shevashanim. His house he built in 7 years. O Beisai Bana B'Shloishas Rishana. The name of Lachim Yisyatev, he will stand in front of the kings. Bal Yisatev Nechashukim, he won't be in Gehenim. And they didn't care about that either. The Vasco of Amran, they said, the Vasco came out and said, are you the ones in charge of paying schar? That you are treating disgustingly? You think you're choosing and not me? Who are you to tell me who gets over my or not? End of discussion that they accepted. Yes.
Right back to the question about why you would have cared. I mean, there's the mice in the glory.
That's true. Meaning he would have cared of the appearance also.
No. Not telling you what I'm saying. That's the light of the given. Is that the Rebbe Shalom was looking to dissolve to say what actually had happened. Right?
No, that's a different story completely. We'll talk about it.
How's it?
Continue tomorrow. No, okay.
It's not a good idea.